Wow, what do you think about that? How many of you couldn't stop singing? Huh? Kind of touches your heart, doesn't it? Dave emphasized, thank you for the sermon this morning, brother. You're a preacher and you don't know it. Thank you, Chris, for your encouragement. We do need to be together studying the Word of God, encouraging one another through the Word. I'm sharing with you this series on prayer because I really believe there's no other answer for the world and time, this church or anybody, until we really get serious about our walking and talking with God and spending time calling upon Him to move. I believe Satan and hell quivers when God's people go to God in prayer, earnestly in faith, asking for the will of God to be done. I believe God hears your prayers and my prayers, and I believe He acts upon them. As we note last week, as we'll share today, if you didn't hear last week's sermon, then there's CDs. And those CDs can catch you up with where we are. But there was a man that was studying and preparing and had this great interview. And he got there and there was no place to park. And he was driving around and around, couldn't find any place to park. And he didn't want to be late because he had to be there on time. So he stopped and he started praying to God. And he said, God, I'll stop swearing. I'll stop smoking. I'll start going to church. I'll start doing whatever you want me to do. Just give me a parking spot. And he started driving. All of a sudden, a ray of sun broke through the cloud onto this one car. And the car backed out. And he pulled up and said, never mind, God. I found a place. Well, when you and I remember that one, okay, I am assured this morning that there is a God in heaven that wants to hear from you. And I'm assured that God is waiting and wanting His people to call upon His holy name so that He could move and do and accomplish His purpose and will in this life. But if we don't ask, He won't act. That's all there is to it. It's up to us. Remember last week, the bowls that were golden bowls that were around in the presence of God, and it emphasizes that those golden bowls are filled with the prayers of the saints, of God's people. Why am I so confident? Well, number one, I'm confident that He hears our prayers because I believe that I'm one of His children. I believe I've been adopted into the family of God, according to 1 John 5:14. 1 John 5:14, it says, this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything in His will, He hears us. And then verse 15, and if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. Are you that confident? Are you that confident about God hearing your prayers and answering them? Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him, right? Secondly, as His children, we have direct access to our Father 24/7, isn't that right? How many of you woke up in the middle of the night, couldn't sleep, what did you do? Lay there murmuring, complaining, or did maybe you spent that time, went out, got on your knees, got in your Word, and you spent some time with God? I've done that. Some of the most precious memories of my life with God has been when that is. And but you know what? Like I share and will share in a minute, you know what I found? I found unbelievable peace that passes all understanding. And I could go to bed and I could go to sleep. And my shepherd laid me down in green pastures and I was at rest. I'm a child of God, so are you. And therefore, you and I have access to the Father. Romans 8, chapters 8 and verse 17 says, if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. Hebrews 4:15-16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Now you know that, right? Right? You all know that, right? Therefore, I like the therefore, because therefore, depending on what was just previously said, you have a great high priest who sympathizes, understands everything you're going through because He's been tempted in every and all things as you are, yet He was without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. therefore. What are we to do? Draw near to the throne of what? Grace. Why? So we can find mercy and help in times of our need. The aspect of that blows my mind when I really reveal that God gives me the privilege. I get to pray. I get to go before the throne because I believe I have a great high priest. I believe. Paul said to the Corinthians, we know him no longer after the flesh in his human form when he walked on the face. No, I know him today as my great high priest who intercedes for me 24/7. He empathizes on my behalf. He knows exactly what I deal with every day. He knows how Satan works. He knows how he tempts. He knows how he perceives. And Satan can't win in my life because I believe I got a priest that can crush him and destroy him under my feet. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. I believe he did it. Just up to you and I to believe it too. Amen? As God's children, we have an authority. We have authority to go before God. You know that? Why do we have authority? Because God, Jesus said, use my name. What did he say? You ask anything in my name. He gave you permission. He gave you the authority to approach his Father by using his name. Did you know that? We can go to the Father in Jesus' name because Jesus said, go to it. Ask in my name. And whatever you ask in my name shall be what? Given to you. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 20. Paul writing to the Hebrew Christians. I believe he wrote it. Are you listening? Are you listening right now? Okay. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence, get that? Three verses. Confidence, confidence, confidence. Since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, what is the holy place? The true holy place. Where is it? What is it? Isn't that the presence of God? Huh? So we have a confidence to enter into the presence of Almighty God by the what? By the blood of Jesus. By a new and a living way, which he, that is Jesus, inaugurated, brought into existence, for us through the veil, remember, separating the Holy of Holies and the holy place. When he died, it was rent and torn, tore asunder, and that signified no longer was there a separation between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. We are the kingdom of heaven on earth right now. Do you know that? That's who we are. We're God's children right now on earth. And the aspect of that, of course, as he inaugurated that, since then we have such a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with sincere hearts in full assurance of faith. Remember it says draw near to God and he what? He'll draw nigh to you. All he's doing is waiting for you to do that. You know that? It's up to you, isn't it? We have to make the move. We get the privilege of doing that. Hi, because of the blood of Christ. You know that when the priest entered into the holy place before the veil was rent in twain, that they literally went in there fear and trembling? You know they had bells on their robes so the outside priest and everyone else could know what they were doing. They could tell whether they were lighting the candles, the incense, or doing the shoe bread. They knew, they could tell, because that priest was inside doing and worshiping for them. Okay? But sometimes, because of the fear of God, he would pass out. The bells would stop ringing. They had this long rod with a hook on it. They'd go on and, oh, there's a bat. And they'd hook, and then they'd pull him out. Because they couldn't go in there until they had washed at the basin, remember? With the water, cleansing, sanctifying them, giving them the opportunity to go into the very presence of God. But yet they went in there. No, how do we enter into the holy place now? What does it say? Why and how do we enter into the holy place today? With boldness. You can approach God with boldness. Remember last week's sermon? We read out a psalm. Remember what it said? This prayer was one telling God, I need this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. I mean, prayer is simply telling and praying and asking God, indeed, what is on your heart and the desires of your heart. God wants to hear from you. And believe me, what he already knows what is on your mind and your heart. You just need to tell him, right? So prayer should be the key that unlocks the day, and it should be the lock that closes the night. I'd rather teach one person to truly open the gates of heaven in prayer than 10 men to preach. I believe more happens in heaven and on earth when God's people praying and praying. How many hours and time did Jesus pray? How much time did he spend going to the Father? You ever thought about it? Hours, people, nights, all night. Not that preaching isn't important. Paul prayed, pray for me that I can have boldness to preach the gospel, right? We certainly need to be praying in that aspect. But everything we do needs to be accompanied and empowered by the prayers of God's people. The Bible says, devote yourself to prayer. Devote. Jesus said, men ought always to pray. Devote means give yourself to it, commit yourself to it, consecrate to it. Pray without ceasing. That is the concept of Scripture. So last week I shared with you, if you will, 10 things, and I got through 4. That's good, isn't it? That's pretty good on me, don't you think? So if you didn't get to 4, you get the tape, CD, and you'll get to 4, and then we'll go, because I'm just going to quickly overview. These are the must. If you're going to have a powerful prayer life with God, these must be accompanied within the relationship you have with God, okay? I believe for you and I to really have, if you will, a great, unbelievable prayer life, we got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I got to know him as my Lord and my Savior, as the element and the sustainer of my life. He's my strength. He's my everything. Amen? Why? Because I go to God in his name. I'm going to go to the Father in Jesus' name. Amen? Isn't that what I'm going to do? You think God doesn't hear when you go to God in his name of his Son? You don't think that opens his ears? I believe it does. So you have to have that relationship. It's very important. First of all, I mean, what did the Hebrew writer? Fix your eyes on Jesus, because he's the author and the furnisher of your faith, okay? Secondly, you got to have a clear perspective. You need to see the element of how important your prayers are to God. That's why I emphasize Revelation and how our prayers ascend to the Father like a sweet-smelling aroma, like incense, and golden bowls are filled with the prayers of the saints. I mean, come on, get a picture of what God is and how he's receiving your prayers. You got to get that perspective. Okay? Because that's what Revelation tells you over and over and over again. Now, again, how many of you smell incense? Have you ever smelled it that it was sweet? The incense I smelled was bitter. I didn't like the smell of it at all. Yet God receives it as a sweet-smelling aroma. Wow. Thirdly, you need to have a positive faith attitude, right? He's going to ask you, I need to ask in faith, right? Not doubting. James says, he that doubts, don't expect to receive. Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith has to be connected to your believing and your confidence in the promises that God has made to his people, the church, the family of God, in this book. Has God not promised to answer your prayers? Has God not promised he'll never leave you? Has God not promised you draw nigh to him, he's going to draw nigh to you? Has he not promised that? He won't allow you to be tempted above what you can stand. He's going to give you a way to escape. You're going to do it, right? Has he not promised you that? So when you go to God in prayer, you got to go there in faith, confident, believing in all the promises that God's made to the kingdom of God, to the church. And I believe those promises are received only in Christ. In Christ. Ephesians chapter 1. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And I believe the only way into Christ is by being baptized into Christ. Okay? Fourthly, I find that you and I need to be able to come to God and come to God knowing that in that moment and in that time, you're going to find an element of peace you won't find anywhere else. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, accompanied with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, but my peace I give to you. You can find it, people. It's there waiting for us in prayer. God wants us to find the peace that he gives. The world can't give it to you. Circumstances can't give it to you. There is only one person who is the Prince of Peace, and his name is Jesus Christ. Fifthly, I believe that you and I approach God, we'll find that in that setting, there's going to be a purifying of your heart. How can you go to a holy God, knowing that he is holy and that he is infinite and all-knowing and all-seeing God, and not go with holy hands, a holy heart, pure, sincere, approaching the Father? Because if you don't have that element within you, you're going to have difficulty speaking to a holy God, I believe. Luke 24:40 says, remember, I believe Dave read it this morning, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Pray. Why? Pray that you won't allow yourself to enter into temptation. Resist evil. Flee from it, right? Flee from every appearance of evil. Doesn't matter what it is. Flee. Get away from it. Don't allow yourself. Don't position yourself where Satan can tempt you. Good grief. You have power to keep yourself from being in an arena where you know Satan can take advantage of your weakness, whatever it might be. You need to cleanse yourself and be pure. James 4:8 says, James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So I always approach the Father by, first of all, sincerely asking him to forgive me. Cleanse me. There's a lot of things in your life you may not even recognize, you know? Those unknowable aspects of your life and attitudes and whatever. You just need to lay it on the altar and God and approach him. The aspect of that. Sixthly, spiritual growth should indeed become a part of your prayer life. I've grown more spending time on my knees than anywhere else. I've come to know God is real because I've seen him answer my prayers time and time and time and time and time and time again. 1 Timothy 2:8. 1 Timothy 2:8. Therefore, I want men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. Remember Cornelius, who Peter went to, and how God picked that certain man? The qualifications of this man, who he was, to open the door to the Gentile world. He was a devout man, gave alms to the people, and was continually praying to God. He was a man of prayer. I don't know about you. I mean, you can grease and jump and try to do all you can to try to grow spiritually. But if you really want to grow spiritually, get on your knees sincerely. Oh, however, I don't know you got to get any position. Because I believe prayer is inner. It's my spirit fellowshipping with God's spirit, whereby I can cry unto him, Daddy, personal, whatever. But I believe God worked on me more there than he has anywhere else. And transforming my mind, renewing it, stabilizing me, giving me strength that I know I need, element of that. And I believe you and I stand taller than we'll ever stand in our lives when you're on your knees talking to God. Number 7, which I've shared here in the series back on passion. Remember the series on passion? Like a deer panting after the water, so my heart pants after you, O God. Do you have a passion for God? Do you really desire him? You hunger for that element of having that personal relationship that you know God. You can know him, and to know him is to know the very essence of life and who you and I are as his creation. Proverbs 15:9, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Do you hear that verse? Well, how about James 2:16? Anybody know what that verse says? James 2:16, you know what it says? The prayers of a righteous man avails much. We prayed for Mike Ward. We prayed that Mike would not have any cancer or anything seriously wrong. They went through all the tests. Mike doesn't have a sign of anything. Now, do you think that was happenstance, or do you believe God heard that prayer? Huh? Julie and Doug Rayon need two children for their daycare. They've asked you to pray. Have you been praying for it? Pray for them to get two children that they can have. They have that need. We can supply for them. Do you know that? Prayers of righteous people avail much. We are God's people, and righteousness is extended to us as we walk in obedience to his will. Amen? Therefore, let's pray. Pray for people. Pray for their need. We can supply the strength and the power of God interactive in people's lives. You know that? The prayer of faith heals the sick. Isn't that what it says? Doesn't it? Huh? Yeah. I think Ray Merritt is where he is because of your prayers. I know he isn't where he needs to be yet. We need to keep on praying. We need to pray for that gout to go away and leave him alone, not have to deal with it anymore. That's an unbelievable blessing. If you've never had it, you don't know how painful it is. I had to carry one of my best friends out of deer hunting. He'd hit a buck, started tracking it. I'm very much aware of Ken. We know where we are. And I heard him yelling and screaming, and I followed his voice, got over there, and he couldn't walk. He'd come down with gout. I had to basically carry him out of the woods. And I never heard anybody agonize so much in my life. It's painful, people. Pray for Ray Merritt that God will touch his body and that gout will be overcome. Okay? And pray earnestly. Pray sincerely in that aspect. Okay? How about every aspect of your need? Eighth, complete reliance upon God for every need you have. I said complete reliance upon God for every need that you might have. Okay? I mean, the aspect is, in the Lord's Prayer, he said, give us this day our daily bread, supply us whatever it is we need. One of our problems in America today, we haven't learned Paul's secret. Paul said, this is my secret, if you will. In whatever state that I am, I found and I find myself to be content. Content. Okay, why? I believe Philippians 4:19 is exactly what it says. Philippians 4:19 tells me, and my God shall supply all your needs to his glory in Christ Jesus. You don't think God wants to glorify himself in your life? How is he going to glorify his people if he doesn't meet our needs? You know that's why God blessed Israel. God blessed Israel, not just for Israel's sake. He wanted all the other nations that saw how God blessed this nation of Israel to want him to be their gods as well. But look at Israel and what they did. How many of his people today in our world, God has blessed us over, and we murmur and we complain and we find fault, and on goes the rhetoric that comes out of our heart and out of our mouth. You don't think God hears it? When he's up there as your Father in heaven, wanting to supply all of your what? Needs. Not your want me's. Number nine. I find that knowledge that God will supply to me is based on the very fact that that's why I'm going to be empowered. How many of you pray for the Holy Spirit? Doesn't Jesus say, you know, that if we ask God for the Holy Spirit, that he will give him to us? You realize you got to pray to be filled with the Spirit? Huh? You do know that. Humbly, okay. The aspect of that is, again, he supplied. Why do I need the Holy Spirit? Well, he did not give any of us a spirit of timidity. He gave us a spirit of a sound mind and a spirit of power. Say it. Come on. He gave us a spirit of power. God knows that you and I cannot accomplish his will in and of ourselves. We cannot fulfill our ministry and do his work in and of our own strength. We need him to empower us. And God, through the Holy Spirit, has granted us the power. The power to do his will as he calls it to us. Good grief. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. On. Peter writes, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. For the purpose of prayer. And then in chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, serving one another, loving one another, do so as one who is serving by the power that God supplies. You ever get weary? Remember Galatians 5, do not grow weary in doing good. The physical body can only take so much, you know. Your physical mind can only endure so much, right? There has to be an internal strength in it. How did Jesus do what he did? How did the apostles accomplish what they did? You think they did it in and of themselves, or do you think God empowered them? Think about it a while. And lastly, we need to have a desire, a sincere desire to glorify God. I believe that comes during the process of you spending a lot of time praying. How many of you want to be a fruit bearer? Not a fruit producer, but a fruit bearer. How many want the Holy Spirit to be producing the fruit of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and gentleness, self-control? You see, you don't produce it. You're the branch. He's the vine. You bear the fruit. Amen? God needs fruit bearers today. God wants fruit bearers today. So in closing, the whole aspect of that is you and I need to have that desire and let God do what he can do and empower us through the vine, through Jesus Christ, so that we can glorify him from bearing fruit. Are you devoted to prayer? Are you giving your life and your time to spending time with God and asking and praying? Realize that Paul, when he prayed in a Colossian letter, and he prayed right here in our reading for Ephesians, both times he prayed for them to be able to have the knowledge and the wisdom of the will of God. He prayed that their eyes might be enlightened to the will of God. He prayed that God would empower them, remember? And all the aspects of it. They prayed that they would be filled with all the fullness of Jesus Christ who fills the all in all. He prayed for the church. Don't forget to pray for the church. Pray for this body. Pray for one another. Pray that this congregation will become a vessel of God to his glory and be empowered to do his will here in Grand Ledge. We got to pray, people. If you pray, God will do it. Amen? So ASAP, what does that mean, ASAP? As soon as possible? No, always say a prayer. As soon as possible, always say a prayer. Remember what stop means? Stop doesn't mean stop teasing old people. It doesn't mean step toe on pedal. I got a sign in my garage now that I got through the mail, and it stands up. It's got a little red sign that says stop on it. If you go too far and hit it, there'll be little red lights flashing at you. Yeah, it's real cute. So every time I have, and I walk, and I drive into my garage, strength through our prayers. Amen. Every time you pull up to a stop sign, strength through our prayers. Every time you see that word stop, no, you start. You start, and you start praying, knowing that God's going to hear. So think of it. How do you think of this list? Do you think it's important or not? You think it's important? Are you seeing some of these results in your prayer life? Are you seeing them? Just remember, if you devote yourself to prayer, God will cause amazing things to happen in your life if you just devote yourself to it. Remember, he will use you and me in a way that we will never thought possible because God is able to do far and abundantly beyond what you and I even dream or ask through the power that is at work in us. People, let's pray as if everything depended on our prayers. Amen? May God make us a praying church. And when we become a praying church, I guarantee you, hell will start quivering because God will start doing. Because he's a God who acts according and will do and accomplish his will and purpose. God bless you. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank you for your faithfulness, for your loving kindness that endures forever. Thank you that we can come to you in Jesus' name and approach your great throne of grace, there to find help, and there to find power and strength in time of need. God, you know this body. You know the needs that are here. And I want to just thank you and praise you for being with Mike Ward and that all his tests came back negative. I pray that Ella Ives, when her tests and all the monitoring has been done, comes back here in another week or so, that they'll say there's nothing wrong with Ella's heart. I pray, God, that you would just reach into Ray's body and whatever needs to be done, you'll heal his feet, his legs from the gout. Take it from him. And God, I'm seriously, sincerely praying to you that when they do test and see if the cancer is gone, God, it is going to be gone. Just remove it. Heal it. Take it from him. Glorify yourself through the answering of our prayers, God, on behalf of one another. God, you know Doug and Judy's needs financially. You know their need for new children. God, I pray that you will provide them with those two children that they need, that they can be financially stable. God, you know our needs. You're the one who supplies. And I just pray for your blessings upon this body, that we will reach out, that we'll share the good news, that we'll bring people to the kingdom and share with them the opportunity to become a part of your great plan, of your great kingdom, so that they can pray and know there's a God in heaven who hears. So bless us today and be with us as we share together in our meeting and the things that are to accomplish yet today. I pray your blessings on it. In Jesus' name, amen.